you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Well, good morning, everyone out in podcast land. My name is Guy Smith. I'm your guest host for today's episode of the Tough Things First podcast. And this is a special edition. Not only do we have our perpetual guest, Ray Zinn, with us, but we have his delightful wife, Delana, as well. And we're going to be talking about obstreperous people, especially obstreperous employees. And if you hear a little giggle in my voice, it's because I spent most of my youth as an obstreperous person. My first promotion in life came from completely breaking the rules entirely with inside of a work environment. And so I've seen it from both sides, having been the obstreperous employee and also being a manager and having obstreperous employees working for me. So I really want to pick Ray's brain and Delana's brain because they've probably seen many, many more obstreperous folks than I have. And they probably have better ways of handling them than I do. So first thing, good morning to both of you, Ray and Delana.
Good morning, Guy.
Well, thanks, Guy, for inviting us back.
Hey, thank you for letting me be the guest host again. So let's jump right into it. Before we talk about managing obstreperous people, what is it about their personality types that actually make them obstreperous?
Well, let's talk about what the definition of obstreperous is.
Well, obstreperous people are people who tend to buck the rules. They tend to want to do things their way. They tend to not see the sense behind the various rules and thus are overtly willing to go around them.
But there's another characteristic that they have. They tend to be loud, whining, okay, and difficult to manage because they're always out there in front, so it's been kind of like the guy that wants to star on the basketball court. You know, you've seen those guys there, or on the football field or whatever. They're the ones that are, you know, doing the high fives and slamming the football down or doing the that smack talk and stuff like that. And those individuals tend not to want to follow the rules. They will sneak around. They will try to take advantage of every angle that they can. We call them bending the rules, I guess, as they refer to it sometimes. So when you're obstreperous, you're one that you want to be recognized. You're the one that wants to be out there, the star, as you would, or you're the whiner. You're the one that complains a lot. So obstreperous means you're loud, you know, whiny. You know, you're out there trying to promote yourself. It's not a matter of them. It's a matter of me. What do I want, and how do I want to look at things. So, and they just can't play by the rules. We have this recent thing with the issues with the ex-director of the FBI, you know, who's, you know, published a book and has recently published a book, and he's going after the president of the United States, the sitting president. He's obstreperous. In other words, he has his view of how he wants to see things, and he wants to be out there in front. He wants to be, he's trying to create an aura, okay? So that's the difficult one to manage and control.
And so there is kind of almost two flavors of it. The common theme is that they want to do things their way. They would prefer to do that as opposed to any particular set of rules. Some of them are also then glory seekers. On top of that, they like the attention. I know about being the former type, and got way too many stories about that. Delana, and you have had to have run into a couple of obstreperous people, especially up at the ranch. People who, you know, despite the fact that there's some mission with inside the family, inside the ranch, whatnot, they're going to go off on their own vector. Are you seeing the same traits that Ray sees in them?
For the most part, yeah. We've even had it even within our own children as they were growing up. You know, there are some that no matter what the rule was, they always were willing to bend or break the rule. And a lot of them, there's one that wanted to take it right to the very edge, as far as he could go. But there was a certain point where he would not go beyond. But he always stretched everything right to the very end, as far as he could go. And as a parent, it was very frustrating to see that, because, you know, we had others that were more, you know, willing to live by the rules and everything, but...
But he was more the more creative one. He was the one...
But he was. He had a very smart... very smart, intelligent-wise, and a quick learner, quick learner.
Very articulate.
Bored with school because he was... They didn't challenge him enough, you know. There wasn't enough challenge there.
Are you sure you didn't adopt my missing brother here? Because he sounds a lot like me.
Well, the whole purpose of this podcast, though, is how do you deal with that obstreperous personality?
Right.
You know, because on the one hand, they're very creative. But on the other hand, they like to bend the rules. They like to operate outside the box, as you would. And so, you know, they don't like to be confined. In other words, don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do. And so they just go beyond, which is good. I mean, we want to test the waters, as you would. We want to make sure that we have examined all aspects of it, but not to the point where it's deleterious, where it damages the company or damages the organization. And so, you know, if as long as you, as you're dealing with obstreperous people, employees or family or whatever, as long as you treat them with respect and show understanding and willingness to work with them, you know, you can keep them. That you can keep them within the rules and the bounds of the family or the organization, as long as you don't become their enemy. Okay, so you recognize them for who they are. They tend to be quite creative. They're quite innovative. But again, they're going to want to push the envelope. They're going to want to go outside the current rules that you have. And so what I tried to do when I was running my crawl for 37 years was make sure that the rules were flexible, that they were kind of more general as opposed to being so tight that you couldn't maneuver within that. And so I found that people tend to bring the rules where they used to work back, you know, to their current company, and because that's what they're used to. And so, you know, you have to make it flexible enough that allows their understanding and what makes sense will operate within the bounds that you want for your company. And I'd say that probably, you know, daily I was dealing with issues where people would come in and say, well, he or she is doing this or that, you know, and that's not according to company policy and so forth. And I was always dealing with, I said, well, what policy is it you're referring to? Well, they couldn't really tell me. They would just make up their own policy saying, well, I thought this was the policy or I thought that was the rule. And I say, well, show me. And then they find out that they had made up their own rule or policy that this person was violating or not following in their mind.
Well, and this gets to economic theory in kind of a way, because these people are motivated by something that typical employees, maybe even typical human beings, aren't. And as you say, they're creative, so you don't want to demotivate them. So what is their motivation for breaking the rules, and how do you then allow them to stretch the boundaries to avoid becoming demotivated, knowing that if you put the clamps on them too hard, they will become demotivated and leave and take their creativity with them?
That's always a challenge, because, you know, you want some structure. You don't want to have a, you know, anarchist organization. So you have to have structure. And as long as you give them the courtesy to allow them to be creative and innovative, but yet let them operate within the bounds of the company, they're motivated and they'll stay productive. It's when you start telling them, no, you can't do that, or no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that, is when they're either going to leave or they're going to they're going to shut down. What you say, you, when someone does something that is not in accordance with company policy, you just say, yes, I agree with you, but here's what we need to do. So that it starts out with a yes, not no, you can't do this. And they say, yes, you can do that, but we need to do this in concert. So I was constantly dealing with people who were wanting to do something that in a, from a policy point of view was not in accordance with what we have as the direction of the company. And then, kind of, as they say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. So what I try to do is be flexible so they didn't bend everybody out of shape, you know. And then what I try to do is make sure that the policies we had within the company were flexible.
You know, and occasionally putting the obstreperous person in charge of what they're breaking works. My first promotion in life was when I worked for McDonnell Douglas at Kennedy Space Center. I hacked a NASA computer. I reconfigured it to run faster, and being, you know, of a Boy Scout mentality, I went down the hall and told the NASA administrator what I had done to his computer. And 2 weeks later, McDonnell Douglas sent me to the other side of the river, to Canaveral Air Force Station, and put me in charge of a Tempest computing vault. This is a computing facility where all the rooms are lead-lined. You cannot get RF signals in and out. And they said, look, if this guy really wants to bend around security, let's put him in charge of security, because he's obviously a little bit interested in it. And so, you know, tapping that creativity and rechanneling it, I think, is kind of what you just said. You know, you can have the boundaries, but if you can focus it, then you get someplace else.
Yep, that's true.
Well, children and employees alike, one thing that I'm interested in is bringing up people's creativity, letting people blossom. Is there value in taking people, encouraging them to be a little bit obstreperous when it's maybe not their nature? Is that a good tool for expanding their horizons, developing their personalities, making them better children, better employees?
Well, I don't. You can't make somebody into something that's not part of them. You know, I mean, you can encourage some creativity, but each person is unique and individual, and you can't. It's like trying to force a left-hander to right-handed. You know, you can try to make them do it, and they might be a little bit successful at doing it, but they're not going to be as their handwriting may not be as clear and precise as it would if they had done it with their left hand. So we each have individual strengths and weaknesses, and I don't think you can try to make somebody something that they don't have in them.
We had a son, you know, our oldest son. He was one that tried not to push the envelope. He obeyed by all the rules. He was someone who was just reluctant to try anything difficult or new. So I had worked with him and tried to get him to try different things, to try to break, as you would, break out of this mold of being, too worried. You know, he was more pessimistic that way. And now he's one of the most creative children that we have. Is because I kept encouraging to push himself to go outside of his comfort zone, and that's how I was able to develop his creativity, is by getting him to try doing the tough things first, as you would, trying to go beyond what's easy and simple, and he did it, and I encouraged him to get a double E, and he was not, from a scholastic point of view, he was not good in physics or math or anything like that, but I encouraged him to do it because I thought he could do it, number one, but also I felt that this would be good for him, and he did. He got his double E, and now he's extremely creative and innovative.
So it does work in some regards to encourage people along that way. So I'm wondering if allowing small amounts of rule breaking helps kind of crack that nut. In other words, to let people who are a little bit afraid to, you know, go out and try new things, gives them the permission then to explore that creativity.
I wasn't encouraging him to break the rules, though. I was just encouraging him to go outside of his comfort zone, not just stick with what was easy and simple and straightforward. That's what I meant by, you know, getting them to actualize their capability. We're far more capable than we think we are. And so, you know, I have people that work for me that will try something they have no knowledge or capability of, and they screw it up good. But others that are afraid, you know, I by just getting them to blossom, as you said earlier, they did try. Oh yeah, I can do that. And then they become encouraged and they go ahead and succeed. But as Delana said, you can't get a left-handed person to write right-handed. So, you know, you got to kind of work within the skill set that they have. So it's, you know, if they don't have that innate capability, in other words, if they're a lefty and you're trying to make them throw right-handed, you're probably wasting your time. But for those who are left-handed and you're getting to do better left-handed because they think, well, lefties can't do as well as righties, well, then if you get them to overcome that fear, then they will blossom.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's the message for the managers, the entrepreneurs, the executives listening in on today's podcast is don't fear the obstreperous employee. They add value to your organization. You got to accept the fact that they're always going to challenge you, always going to bend the rules a little bit. But if they weren't that kind of personality, they probably wouldn't be bringing the creativity that you need in your organization to find the next best thing, to find the new way of doing a process, to improve the entire overall product line or organization or whatever it is that drives your business. And speaking of driving your business, if you have not read Ray's first book, Tough Things First, you need to do that right away. Drop what you're doing, go to Amazon.com, buy a copy. It's Ray's distillation of his 37 years of founding and leading Micrel from infancy through IPO and creating the most consistently profitable semiconductor company in Silicon Valley. It is required reading not only for you, but it's becoming required reading on college campuses around the country. Academia is picking up on this book and telling their students, if you really want the lessons delivered to you fast and hard, this is the right book to be reading. So thanks again for tuning in to the Tough Things First podcast, and tune in next week. We've got even more content coming your way then.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.